Please stand. Our scripture lesson this evening comes from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll be reading verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
You may be seated, dears. A joyful time together. It's lovely that we can be here tonight. Let's go ahead and pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, the great King, the author of our faith. Give you all the praise for who he is, what he means to us, born to us, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In this meditation tonight, may we give him the glory, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen. There's an outline provided if you're interested for tonight's little meditation. Years ago, there was an advertiser that used to brag about the product that they were selling by saying that it was the gift that keeps on giving. I can't even remember what it was. Implying that there was a sort of regenerative nature to this particular item that they were selling. Well, we tend to get a bit bored and tired of the world's baseless boasts like these. We ought to realize, nonetheless, that their empty promises are reminiscent of the genuine truth that there really is a gift that keeps on giving. And of course, at Christmas time, we think about gift giving because God gave his gift of Jesus to us, the gift that always continues to give. In verse 6, which we're not actually going to look at in a lot of detail tonight, but Elder Wayne read it, of this 9th chapter of Isaiah, we would see that the Lord Jesus had descended to us, was reigning over us, and is, and embraces us with his love. Now in verse 7, which we'll focus on in the meditation tonight, the prophet Isaiah especially elaborates on one particular aspect of the Messiah's blessing upon us, and that is his government or his rule, which is a kind and good one. Tonight we'll endeavor to appreciate the full significance of the gift of our blessed Savior Jesus. The title tonight is The Gift That Keeps on Giving. Let's consider verse 7a of this one verse. Christ keeps giving his church his victory. The triumph that Jesus Christ achieved in his perfect life of obedience and in his death, burial, and resurrection is the motivating factor for the whole of our existence as Christians and as a church. Everything we aspire to do or actually achieve for the glory of God, for the extension of his kingdom, for living for Jesus in this world, is done out of the riches of his victory brought to us and given to us in his death and resurrection. But that wouldn't have happened without his birth. Let's look briefly now at the extent of this bounty. Christ keeps giving his church his victory. Verse 7a, we win in this world. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, isn't that encouraging that we are victors in this world? And we're going to see we're also victors in the world to come. In verse 6, we have been taught by God the Holy Spirit through Isaiah, the beginning or genesis of Jesus Christ's kingdom was at his conception. For unto us a child is born. So the God-man, Jesus Christ, which we really studied a bit in the Sunday morning sermon 2 days ago, is born into this world. And ever since that's been true, his kingdom has expanded consistently, albeit sometimes slowly, across the whole earth. I mean, even as we look around at us tonight and where we're from, where our ancestors are from, and how this gospel has reached even us, all the way here in Peoria County. Jesus' parable in Luke 13 at verses 18 and 19 talk about how the kingdom starts slowly and grows exponentially and tremendously. The point is that we have a great confidence in Jesus that what he says here is true. Of his kingdom there will be no end. And as we read here, the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Sometimes we're tempted almost not to believe that, aren't we? If you look at newspapers, listen to the news, see what's happening. But that's because we're a little short-sighted, and we're a little myopic, and we're a little provincial. And we forget that there's a big world out there, and we're not the center of it. But Jesus is. And his kingdom is all over the globe, every part of it. Paul reminds true Christians, wherever they live, in whatever period of time, because of Jesus Christ and his incarnation, his death and resurrection, that we are more than conquerors through him, Christ, who loved us. Isn't that great? More than conquerors? In this world, there's right now and here. That's from Romans 8:37. So we win in this world, and as you might expect, we win in the next world. Same words. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. They say that the universe is expanding, whether it is or not. Doesn't much matter. God made it all. The point being that his expanding influence is very real. That we know to be true. And in the next world, we are also more than conquerors. In the next world, all the promises that we have received and are acting upon now are completed and perfected totally, with absoluteness. You know that even in heaven and throughout all eternity, Christ's rule will continue to expand? We're reminded of the angel's words to Mary, he, Christ, will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his, Christ's kingdom, there will be no end. Luke 1:33, it continues to grow. When we think of the next world, we remember that Christmas began the process that forever secured our eternal life of every true Christian believer, all the church, for all time. Consider more Advent words. We read these Sunday morning, Matthew 1:21. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What about this gift that keeps on giving? Well, Christ keeps giving us his church's victory. Now look with me at verse 7b. He keeps giving us his blessings. The throne of David, which Jesus has ascended for all time, is a place of great wealth and bounty and blessing. That Jesus has taken this throne in time past, not some future event, but way back then, is clear from all the Holy Scripture, but how about this word from Luke 1:32? Again, Christmas words. He, Christ, will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now let's look briefly at some of these characterizing blessings that we receive. Christ keeps giving us these blessings. Verse 7b, these are covenant kindnesses. Now, covenant means a blessing of God that he makes with his church, an agreement, a plan of God. There's a lot to that word. The church is the covenant community of God. Look at verse 7b. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. But we read here of some very nice things, don't we? Order, judgment, and justice. The ordering of the kingdom of God has to do with everything from the selection of the 12 disciples or apostles to the fact that God gave every one of you who are faithful Christian churchmen spiritual gifts to use. And those aren't given out willy-nilly. Those are sovereignly administered. The ordering of his kingdom. God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. Everything is done decently and in order. That's very important. That's a good thing. Secondly, and also in this regard, we remind ourselves of Paul's words to the church in Ephesus, chapter 4, verse 8. When Christ ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Order. Judgment speaks of our relationship to God. It says here in this text that upon the throne over his kingdom to order and establish it with judgment and justice. Now, a lot of times we think of judgment, and properly so sometimes, is God's wrath poured out. True, no question. God executed the judgment that belonged to us believers in the church, not on us, but on his Son, who bore it on the cross. He never sinned. He did nothing wrong, but he could substitute because he was the perfect God-man. He was so great that he could bear the weight and absorb the shock of all the wrath of God for all the elect church of all ages. Every one. He's that magnificent, that huge, that significant, that big, that Jesus could do that. Allowing us to go free, to be justified, just as if we'd never sinned. Now, here's some words that some Christian people have hard time believing. And the world definitely does. This is 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It is remarkable. Indeed it is. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Now also verse 7b talks about justice. Justice is very important. Our relationship to each other, to man, human beings. First in the church, obviously, but then to everyone else. In the kingdom of God, we're to treat each other with truth and humility. Justice is spoken of in those famous words of Micah 6:8. Many of you know this text, which deals with our relationship with one another. The prophet wrote, God has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Thank God that if you are a Christian, or even if you're not, but you're hearing these words, you are invited to be a child of the King. You're a member of his covenant community of grace. You're embraced in his love. And this gospel goes out to everyone. Everyone should hear it. These are covenant kindnesses, and then verse 7b, if you will, these are eternal kindnesses where we read, from that time forward, even forever. Again, there's no end to God's blessing on us in Christ. And again, the emphasis is on in Christ, in the Son who was born, who was given to us. No end to it in this world or the world to come. From that time forward is hearkening us back to the giving of the Christ child. So this is way back then, 2,000 years ago, when his influence began and is growing ever since. So there's the gift that keeps on giving. Jesus gives us his victory, his blessings, verse 7c. Christ keeps giving his church his assurance. When the Bible says that God is zealous about something, we should really take notice of this, the assurance that he wants us to have. There's no stopping God. He wants his children to be confident in him. Do you remember what happened when Jesus entered the temple and made a whip and drove out the money changers? John the Apostle tells us in his Gospel at chapter 2, verse 17, that his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." Zeal. For the house of God. Christ keeps giving his church his assurance. And here's some very helpful words. Verse 7c. God's word is sure. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Those are words, inscripturated words, spoken by the Holy Spirit to the apostle, to the prophet Isaiah, who writes them down. 700 years before the event happened. You know that? Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, the rest of the book, were written 700 years before Jesus came. But didn't his words come true? Now 2,000 years later, we look back and say, yes, indeed they did. God's word cannot and does not fail. This ought to give us great confidence in the holy book. Jesus himself said this in Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 18. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled, including prophecies like that one. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will fulfill it. So God's word is sure, but also, dears, God's decree is sure. And this is a great blessing. It's not an accident that you were baptized in the church, that you hear the gospel. None of this is coincidental. All of this is part of a divine plan. Again, the same words of verse 7. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Yes, that's the word of God, but the actual doing is the decree of God. He decrees what will occur. It's not like God looks down the corridors of history and sees what will happen and then says, well, that's what's going to happen. No, rather he establishes from before the dawn of time what would happen, especially as it relates to the birth, life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, session of Jesus in heaven, and his church, pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the growth of the church. And he wants you, dear churchmen, to know of his love for you. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And even if you're not in Jesus, his gracious words are for you. To come, eat, see, taste, and see that the Lord is really good. And once we are in him, let us enjoy him as dear children. Let us believe in Jesus Christ, the one who is spoken of here in Isaiah 9, 7, as well as 6, and for that matter, all the book of Isaiah and the rest of the Old Testament, plus all of the New Testament. All of it speaks of Jesus. God would not waste his time directing us to anything or anyone else but Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Blessed One, of whom it was said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This gift that keeps on giving, dears, is a powerful and loving King, Jesus. One not to be taken lightly. In this Advent season, let us celebrate, among many other things, his victory for us, his church, his dear children, his blessings upon us in this world and the one to come, and the assurance that we have that his decree has been spoken, it's been executed in time and space for you. Enjoy him and each other, the gift that keeps on giving. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the mighty power of God in the Lord Jesus, gracious, powerful Holy Spirit, gospel preaching, Word of God, church. Thank you so much for all the means of grace. We have everything, Lord. In this season, we'll share gifts with one another. We'll exchange gifts. And that's a good thing to do. But ultimately, Jesus is the gift that always gives and the one to whom all these subordinate gifts point. Help us to always embrace him with all our hearts. We pray in his holy name. Amen.